if you got broken your brain.
Dose against COVID-19. Visit quebec.ca/COVID vaccine to follow the vaccination sequence plan for your area and book your appointment online. To continue protecting yourself against COVID-19 and its variants, get a booster dose and keep following distancing measures, wearing a mask, and washing your hands. The booster dose, the best way to stay protected longer. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
Tune in to CKUT 90.3 FM, Tuesdays, 3 p.m. to 5 p.m., for a special Black History Month edition of the Montreal Sessions. The month kicks off on February 1st with the best in reggae and soca with your hosts, Production Sounds and Soca Head. Week 2, February 8th, Wizzy Moonchaser, host of The Morning Detour, broadcast live from DG Kicks, a sneaker store in NDG. Final 2 weeks, 15th and 22nd, are hosted by Stephen Ziplocks Hennessy, educator, creator,
and part of the Ill Groove Garden team. Don't miss it.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the Black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Where she said,
love it when you whisper on me ears.
Ooh, baby.
Love it when you're breathing on me face.
Ooh, baby.
Love it when you rub down my spine.
Ooh, baby.
Love it when we drink white wine.
Ooh, sex and noises.
Talk to me.
Really turn me on.
Tell it to me, baby. Tell it to me, baby.
Sex and noises.
Me, baby, how many hits must I make before you get the picture that I like it when you talk to me? You say it loud, what you say, don't shy away, say it to my face, talk sweet to me. Go up and down and go round and do all that, but don't forget I'm a sister with the thing for the sound. So make a sexy noise when you're on your way down. Yeah, all the way down.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, special Tuesday evening for us, as it is the Tuesday before Valentine's. And we have a special guest with us. But before I tell you who the special guest is, my name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
So last year we had this guest come on around, I believe it was October, November, to talk about what she does. So she is a certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach, as well as an erotic poet and the owner of the company A Taste of Sex. Her focus is working with women and men who want to enhance their sex life with erotica and intimacy coaching. She provides relationship, sexuality, and intimacy coaching, as well as adult erotic products. We are bringing back, for this special Valentine's edition, Ms. Twyla B. Good. Twyla, how are you doing?
I am doing well. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm doing well. I'm excited. This feels like the first Valentine's edition that we've done in a long time. I don't think we've had a Valentine's show for at least 3-4 years now.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, you know, it's love time. It's a time when people are going out and buying chocolate and all of that stuff. And as a relationship expert, what are some things that people should be considering around Valentine's?
Well, you know, I suggest that, of course, you celebrate love 365 days, of course. But on this special occasion, if you are celebrating Valentine, you want to really find out what it is that you and your partner can both enjoy and create that level of intimacy. Mm. It could be something as simple as cooking together. That's a form of intimacy. If you are worried about, of course, we are living in a time of COVID, then you want to find things that you can do primarily inside of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Cooking, taking a bath together, taking a shower together. And mm-hmm. it is nothing wrong with a Netflix and chill type of night.
Right.
Just find your favorite movie, you know, put the kids to bed and just enjoy each other's energy and company.
You know,
so those are the ways you can do that.
I love that you said cooking together, because recently I've been seeing a meme going around whereby the meme is basically saying, asking the question or making a statement that cooking together is actually not a romantic thing. I personally believe that it's the way that the meme is set up, because how it is that the woman is like cutting up the vegetables and everything, and the guy comes up behind her and kind of is hugging her from behind. And for me, I'm just like, well, that's obviously not going to work, because the work, you know, the cooking is being disrupted and it needs to be mm-hmm. kind of a collaborative effort. And I find like these memes kind of try and destroy very romantic notions of spending time together with people. And I like wonder, like, what is a way that people could be spending romantic time together doing activities such as cooking? Like, what would that look like?
Well, for starters, you can just start out by going to the grocery store together. Make a grocery store date. That's fun, you know.
No, but I never thought about that.
After you know, you're going to the grocery store, you're shopping together,
mm-hmm.
you know, you may make a game out of it, or, you know, just be creative.
Right.
And then, you know, you can race each other in the parking lot with the grocery carts. Like, mm-hmm. that's always fun. You know, you can play with the fruit and squeeze the fruit, you know, just
mm-hmm.
it's whatever you want to do. But that's part of spending time together as well. And then you get home. And then you cook it together. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's cutting up the onions, or you're washing the fruit or whatever it is. And mm-hmm. you're talking to each other as you cook. You're playing soft music as you cook.
Mm-hmm.
You're drinking your wine as you cook, just enjoying each other's company. I think a lot of times these memes on social media, you know, you can't put too much investment into these memes, because,
right.
you know, it's for kicks and giggles.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can enjoy the moment with your partner while in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And one person is not just doing all of the work.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm so glad that you talked about like actually going to the grocery store, because that is actually where cooking begins. It's like you go to the grocery mm-hmm. store, you get all your ingredients, you take everything home, you prepare the ingredients, you cook them, and then you eat them. Like, there's Because most times we think about cooking as like we're in the kitchen and, you know, we just cook. But the food has to get there somehow. Most of us are not
Amen.
farmers. Most of us don't slaughter our own meat or catch our own fish. So, you know, we have to go to the fishmonger, the butcher, and the grocery to get the ingredients for whatever meal we've planned. And even we can take it a step before that. You and your partner can sit down and plan out the menu together before you go and get your go to the grocery store. So it could become like
Exactly.
an exciting aphrodisiac laced menu, you know, for people who like
And you can find
oysters
different
and
foods that yes, you can find different foods that create that that are aphrodisiacs, like oysters and I know oysters comes to mind, chocolate, of course, strawberries, all of those sensual foods. So yeah, you can plan your menu out. That's creative and sexy at the same time.
Right. So one of the things that I really enjoy, while I follow you on social media, you give a lot of different sex tips, tips, and like you almost have a daily theme for each tip. What are some things, and you had a lot of stuff. You had a lot of information with regarding to food, and since we're talking about cooking together as a potential, let's call it a date night for Valentine's, like what are some things that people should know about certain foods?
When it comes to certain foods, so I have what's called Tasty Sex Tuesday, and it's basically where I share tips on what you should eat for a healthy sex life, what foods help increase with stamina, and of course, libido, giving you the vitamins that you need. First of all, water is key for both men and women because you're going to stay hydrated and helps with the blood flow. Other foods you need to be aware of are berries. Berries are full of zinc and vitamins and B12. And for men, it helps with stamina. Why? Because they help with the blood flow. Another good one are nuts. Nuts are good for your nuts. So men should eat almonds. Yes, almonds and walnuts are really good. When it comes to any type of fish, such as salmon, they have the fatty acids in it, so that's good. And of course, pineapples, yes, for women. Fruit, bananas are good in potassium. So all of those really help when it comes to increasing that sex drive. Now, of course, this is not going to, just all of a sudden happen overnight. You want to incorporate this in your diet. You want to make it a lifestyle, just for your overall health. The benefits of it is that it will help you have a healthy sex drive. So you can have sex in your 50s and 60s, healthy sex anyway. So you can keep that erection up. And blueberries are great for men too. They research has shown that blueberries are now the Viagra, if you will. So
Nature's
blueberries are great
Viagra.
for men to eat.
It's nature's Viagra.
Yep, it is.
That's good to know. Like I know that as a man, I want to do everything in my power to make sure that when I'm with a partner, that I am able to please her. And if I gotta eat some extra blueberries, you know, I gotta put some blueberries in my oatmeal to make sure that, you know, I'm keeping my strength up, keeping my stamina up. I'm damn well gonna do it, and I already love eating berries anyway. So, you know, I make berry and mango smoothies. So yeah, no, that's good to know. Are there anything else? Is there any other kinds of foods that are beneficial?
I would say that really just the salmon, any type of fish is really good. I will say whatever you eat, like no woman wants any type of funky spunk. So what you are eating is going to come out in your juices. So if you want your partner to go down on you, then be mindful of what you're eating because it's going to come out, and she will probably be interested in swallowing because you'll taste great. You won't taste tart
right.
or tangy.
Right. So stay away from garlic.
Juicing is good too. Yes.
And overly salty food.
Stay away from
food.
Garlic, please do.
Yeah.
Yes. But juicing is great, like with apples, the green apples, zucchini, cucumbers. Those are great for juicing.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, add some water to it and just drink that, you know, over the course of a few weeks, you will see the difference in your sperm. And wow. sperm is good to swallow because it has vitamins in it, too.
Right.
Potassium and zinc. And a little bit of folic,
acid.
I'm sorry, a little bit of fructose. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. it's always so fun having these conversations, and I forgot to put a warning, so just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are going to be talking about sex tonight. We're going to be talking about Valentine's and love and all that good stuff, so you might want to ask the kids to leave the room or put on your headphones or your earphones, because we're going to talk about all the stuff tonight. Okay, so now we've had a meal and everything, like what would be something else, another activity that might be interesting to do? Well, before the sex happens, like let's say it's sex is coming, it's gonna come, it will probably come, but you know, to keep the night interesting, what is another activity that couples could do together?
Oh, wow. You can just be really creative. Erotic poetry is great. You can sit and take time out to write to one another.
Mm.
You know, just be in separate rooms of the house and just take that time to express your thoughts and feelings on paper. Another activity is to do arts and crafts.
Right.
That's always fun. And you, once again, you're spending time with each other. You can even do pottery together if you want to recreate the scene in Ghost.
The scene from
and
Ghost,
do
yes.
pottery together.
Yes, yes. The most you know, erotic pot ever funny. Made.
Yes, absolutely. You can do that. Of course, we talked about the Netflix. That's always something fun to do.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting there, you can do foot massages together, keeping your clothes on, but just simply paying attention to the feet. Why? Because the feet, the bottom of the soles, is where our chakras are.
Okay.
And so that releases the blood flow, keeps that going, and you can rub each other's feet as well. And you can just sit there, you know, hey, you can wash, he can wash her hair or she can wash his hair if he has hair on his head.
Mm-hmm.
But washing hair is great. It's a form of bonding and building that connection between each other.
Right.
So like, those are some things that you can do inside of the house. If you want to play games, so it's always adult games that you can play with each other. If you want to get outside of the house, you can always go to the park, go to the museum, go to the movies, of course.
Mm-hmm.
You can go to, they have those escape rooms here.
Yes.
Those are fun, where you have to think.
Up here, too, we have them.
And be a team. Do you guys have those there?
Yeah, we have them up here in Montreal as well. And just in case nobody knows, Twilight is based in Texas. So that's why we're talking about here and there.
Yes, and here we are very much open. Like, Texas is fully open. So
right.
we can go to like escape rooms, and it is, you're working together, being a team.
Right.
Figuring out a strategy together.
Mm.
You know, so that's fun. You can even do Top Golf.
Right.
That's fun.
So
so you can do different activities. Ooh, axe throwing is another one.
Okay,
that's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Right. We have a rage axe throwing. We also have, well, I don't know if they're still open because the lockdowns and the curfews have really affected a lot of restaurants and a lot of these recreational spaces. But we do have an organization called Rage Axe Throwers. So you go there and they put you in like this kind of corridor that kind of has mesh, and you get a certain amount of axes for a certain amount of time, and you just whip it at the target. I've also seen like spaces where like you can go and just take like a hammer and just smash not cutlery, plates and bowls and stuff like that. You put on, you know, you put on all the protective gear, the glasses, the mask and everything, and just go ham on these on this kitchenware.
Yes, I've seen that one too. I think it's like I forget what it's called exactly. I call it anger, anger relief.
Right.
But that's something that the two of you can do together and release that energy that way, and just take whatever it is that you have going on in your mind, just release it and take it out on those plates.
Yeah. And like that's a good, especially for maybe a couple who are very new. They haven't gotten to like a level of a certain level of intimacy yet, or even a couple that's been there and done it all. This is something different that they can try and do together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. You can look at it as a form of self-care, you know, because you are exerting this energy onto something, you know, to get rid of. If you have any type of built-up tension that you may have in the relationship, this is one way to release that. So I will look at it like that as well. And it's fun too.
Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are speaking to Twyla B. Good, certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach. She's based in Texas. We do have to take a quick break. Stay tuned because you're listening to CKUT 90.3 FM.
Woman, I cry for the term fabulous. Legal. Anytime. Here she sing. Fantasy as a nightmare. They took me coffee because my love bubble burst. Desire are gonna kill me and it is getting worse.
A feeling I can't control is haunting me when you're not home.
She said, get here, where she said.
Trying to see just how to stroke, right? Practice putting condoms on, how it go, right? I'm in a crib now, nigga, palm sweating. With a pocket full of rubbers and an erection. That's when my hands start touching and her face start blushing. And a nigga roll over on top. And then she get my pants unbuckled and her hands start rubbing on me. Ooh, girl, don't stop. It's time for action. Pull out the condoms real smooth, yeah, just how I practice. But right before I put it in, she flinched and grabbed it and said, I wanna get something off my mental. I can tell you a pro, but baby, be gentle, cause I ain't ever did this before, no. And 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 I ain't ever did this before, no.
The global outbreak of COVID-19 has affected all our lives in various ways. And it has notably drawn our attention to the intensified systemic racism and selective xenophobia towards our racialized friends in our Canadian society. It is understandable for each of us to feel anxious about this fatal disease. However, the sentiment of fear does not give us the right or the opportunity to conduct hate crime and to discriminate against our Asians, Blacks, Indigenous, and other racialized friends. It is not okay to associate the COVID-19 disease with Asians, particularly those of Chinese descent. It is not okay to conduct physical and psychological abuses towards racialized individuals. It is not okay to vandalize Asians and other marginalized owned businesses. We must stop normalizing and stop accepting racist conducts and hate speeches towards all racialized communities. Rather, in these unprecedented times of global pandemic, together, we must educate ourselves and others and be eager to understand race, systemic racism, and racial justice in Canada and elsewhere. Remember, whoever, wherever, and whenever we are humankind. We must learn to stand together as citizens of the world for a healthier, safer, and happier community.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I have on the air with me this evening Twyla B. Good, who is a relationship coach, a certified sexologist, an erotic and intimacy coach. She also owns the company A Taste of Sex. Twyla, before the break, we were talking about different activities that people could do on or around Valentine's. Valentine's is going to be on a Monday, so maybe, you know, depending on our lockdown situation, you know, we don't know if people are able to go out, but people are still together. And what I was wondering is, like, you know, relationships are not perfect. And they go through their ups and downs. And I'm wondering, like, say for example, a couple is going through a down period. Valentine's is coming up. They may not necessarily be feeling their partner. What are some things as a relationship coach that you could say or you could share with one or both of these people in order to, like, if they're both interested in repairing the relationship or mending whatever bond was broken, what are some things that some tips that you could give them in order to facilitate them getting back together and maybe having an amazing Valentine's?
First, you want to be in a space where you can talk, no distractions. And, you know, when we are talking to our partner, we want to actually listen to what they're actually saying, not listening to respond.
Intentional listening.
Yeah. And you want to pay attention to your body language. If I'm speaking to you, I'm looking at everything. I'm looking at all of the details. Are you rolling your eyes? You know, how are you breathing? Mm-hmm. Are you, you know, do you have your arms crossed?
Yeah.
Because now that's like a defense mode. Right. So I won't be able to, now you're giving me pushback. So now I'm really not going to express my feelings.
Right.
You know, women and men, we speak the same language. However, we process things differently.
Absolutely.
So, yes. So you want to actually pay attention to what that person is saying and learn to say, okay, what I heard you say is this. Am I correct?
Right.
Therefore, there's no confusion. You know, you aren't assuming of what you thought they said. No. You're actually asking or checking for understanding. Mm. You know, what I heard you say is this, and you repeat what they said. Am I correct?
Well, is it that you repeat what they said verbatim, or is it that you repeat your understanding of what they said?
You repeat your understanding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, you know, once you're able to learn how to communicate effectively, talking to each other and find out what the problem is, whatever it is that you're going through. Now you want to create goals and create a solution to whatever that problem is. Mm. Some type of understanding where the two of you can come to a compromise. And then just kind of go from there. I wouldn't, you know, try and focus on honing on Valentine's Day, you know, say, hey, I want to have this corrected by the 14th.
Right.
But baby steps to get there. And to appreciate the relationship in its entirety. Because, you know, you're going to be together way beyond Valentine's Day.
Exactly. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So communication is key.
Excellent. So could Valentine's Day then become a part of trying to, well, not trying. I don't like to say try. A part of working on the relationship? Can it be like, okay, we've had the discussion and stuff, we're going to do something a little bit special on Valentine's. And then we'll continue working on the relationship past Valentine's.
Mm-hmm. You can definitely do that. You can plan the date together. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, he can take the initiative to plan the date, or she could take the initiative. But yes, you know, Valentine's Day can be that kind of middle ground to be like, okay, let's do something fun and exciting to celebrate our happy times and to celebrate the times that, you know, we have overcome the different challenges in our relationship. Mm-hmm. So that's how you can incorporate Valentine's Day.
I love
into the relationship.
Yeah, I love that you said he can take initiative, but also she can take initiative, because I always find that there's a lot of pressure on men to always, you know, they're the ones that are figuring out where we're going to go on a date and all of that stuff. And just in general, in a relationship, there's a lot of pressure on the man to make the first move, on the man to be the provider, on the man to do this, do that, and the next. And so it's refreshing for me to hear you as a relationship expert say that, you know, women can also take the initiative in a regular cis-het relationship, you know. Mm-hmm. Why is it that the opposite has been true for so long? And, like, what have you experienced when you give advice that, you know, yeah, you know, ladies, you can actually take more initiative?
I think the ruling has been just in our society that men are supposed to lead and be in control. Mm-hmm. And when I say by that, I mean, they're supposed to be the ones that are the providers. They are the ones that are supposed to chase the woman. They are the ones that, you know, they're supposed to plan everything, which can be a lot of pressure. However, some men don't know how to plan dates. That's not their specialty.
Yeah.
And then it could be where a woman has not actually said what it is that she truly likes. So now he's playing this guessing game.
Yeah.
And so he's still getting it wrong. So
he's getting it wrong, and then he's getting all the flack for it.
Exactly. So in our society now, sometimes the roles, it seems that the roles have shifted to where more women are saying, hey, I don't mind planning a date. Now, will I plan it all the time? No. Right. I do want my guy to take some type of initiative. Yes. And plan dates.
Right.
And he's going to learn from her what it is that she likes to do. Now, this is if she has told him. Mm-hmm. And if he is paying attention. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't have to plan dates all the time, and neither does she. But it's nothing wrong with a woman taking the initiative to do so.
And, you know, it's I love that you said that, because where you said if he's listening and paying attention, he'll know what she likes to do. Because if the woman is, if I find whenever I've planned dates or I've planned something to do with my partner, it's usually something that I know I will enjoy, and I hope that she will enjoy as well. And whenever it's been the opposite, like where my partner was planning something, it's usually something she would enjoy, and she hopes that I would enjoy it as well. And what I've found is that by watching how my partner does certain things, or whether it's cooking food or planning an outing or whatever the case may be, it gives me ideas as to, okay, so for the next time when I want to plan something, I know that she likes this, this, and this. Or, you know, for mm-hmm. example, when we're eating together and I notice that she's ordering a certain kind of food, and I notice mm-hmm. her reaction to that kind of food, I'm like, okay, I make a mental, like, there's a mental list in my head that's being continuously compiled of, like, okay, so she likes this kind of food, and she likes that kind of food. And okay, mm-hmm. so the next time, even if it's not Valentine's, I'm like, okay, those foods are, she likes feta cheese, she likes the Greek salads. Okay, good. That's going to be on my list of things to get for next time.
Exactly.
It was really interesting, because people underestimate the details that their partners are giving them non-verbally as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would agree. And that goes back to paying attention to those verbal or non-verbal cues. Mm-hmm. You know, what is your partner telling you without having to say anything? If you notice that your partner is you know, they're into arts and crafts, and, you know, they may have different paintings on the walls, then you may want to find something that involves that. It could be a paint class that you guys can do together. It could be a pottery class that you can do together. So it's paying attention to those small details that, you know, if your partner likes wine, such as myself, take me to a vineyard any day of the week.
Right. Or just a nice trip to the local. We have SAQs, which are it's like a very elaborate liquor store, and just ask the because there's usually like there's the salesperson, but there's also like connoisseurs. So like oh my God, what was the word? I watched a movie about this last year. There's a special word for it. It starts with S. Oh God, I hate that.
Sommelier.
Yes, sommelier.
Yeah.
So you might be like in certain liquor stores, you might have a sommelier, and he's able to tell you, okay, this wine, what kind of meal are you preparing together? Well, this wine is good, and then they give you samples, and then you can. That could be like a mini. Almost like a mini vineyard kind of situation that you're doing, and you know you'll find out what is the latest wines that they have, the ones that they have on sample, or if you like harder liquor, you know, you can try their harder liquor and see if that's something that you want to incorporate into the meal.
Exactly, and that's a date right there. Simple, easy. I think a lot of times when it comes to relationships, especially dating. We in today's society, we get so caught up in how much does it cost?
Yeah.
You know, especially, oh gosh, first dates and so forth. And you can have a lot of value in a date, and it does not have to cost a lot.
Yeah, it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg.
No, it does not at all. So you can be really creative when you are dating, when you are in a relationship, and how to keep that spark, you know, going. How to keep the spice in the bedroom or outside of the bedroom. Whether you've been with your partner 10, 15, 20 years, as you grow together, you also grow individually.
Yeah.
You start to like different things. So you continue to date each other while you are in the relationship, while you are married, because your likes tend to change over the course of time.
That is so true.
And you're always learning and studying your partner.
That is very true. That is very true, because I think about people who have been together for 20, 30 years. They're in their 40s now or their 50s. So they met each other when they were late teens, early 20s. And now there's a 30-year lifespan. So that's 3 decades in which we have 3 different generations of people. And so, you know, if we just think about it, I am 42 this year. I was born 1980. In between 1980 and 1995, the internet wasn't that big. So the way of interacting with people is completely different back then from now. And so you kind of have to roll with the times. And like, back in the day, it might have been a telephone call to say what's up, and you go and pick up the person. Now, you know, you can text each other back and forth, and you can have like updates in between. Oh, I'm 5 minutes away. Oh, I'm 1 minute away. Okay, meet me at the door. Okay, you know, like, whereas before it was like you had to know the preset time, and there was no in between calling or anything like that. It was just you get to the door, you knock on the door, you wait for an answer. If you're lucky, she's ready and on time. If not, you kind of you have to wait on at the door, or wait, you know, depending on whatever the situation was, like if it's her parents' house or what have you, you know. Now it's like super fast. Okay, are you ready yet? Oh, I'll wait in the car for you. And so all of that to say, we have to adapt to the times, and people change. So who I was at 15 years old is not who I was at 25, is not who I was at 35. Like, and who I am now is none of those people.
Exactly. And that's why a lot of times you have to figure out, what does my partner continue to like? Because as you are growing, like I said, you're growing together with each other. but at the same time, you're changing as an individual. Mm. And so if you've been, like you said, you are not the same person that you were 15 years ago. Think about being married to someone. They aren't the same person that they were when you first met them either.
Right.
So you have to continue to be educated on what it is that the two of you like. And most importantly, able to articulate that to that person.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm wondering, have you ever gotten the complaint, like if you have a couple who have been together for a long time, have you ever gotten the complaint of, my partner used to do this, but they don't do it anymore?
Oh yeah, always.
And like, what is your,
don't do that.
Yeah. What is your response to that?
And my first response is, well, did you tell them that they stopped doing it?
Mm.
You know, did they even realize that they stopped doing this?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did they stop doing it for a reason when they were doing it? Did you seem appreciative of it when it was happening?
Mm-hmm.
You know, did they figure over a period of time, well, maybe they don't like this anymore. Maybe they're trying something new to replace whatever it is that they were doing. Right. But how, like, have you actually told them that they stopped that?
Mm.
Yeah. Think, you know, a lot of times we assume the person is going to realize it, and that's not always the case.
Right. And have you ever experienced where, and this could be through your coaching or you, where, like, you're with somebody and they seem to just know, they seem to just have an intuition of what it is that the partner wants, and then there becomes an expectation that they'll always know what their partner wants? You know what I mean?
I think it goes back to truly studying and knowing your partner.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you are truly in tune with them, then you will know exactly, you know, what turns them on, what stimulates them, what exactly that they need and that they want. But that comes over a course of time of really studying and knowing your partner at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, when it comes to expectations, I'm a firm believer in managing your expectations.
Right.
And so, you know, if you expect them to do it all the time, once they get it started and they do stop, you want to find out, like I said, why did they stop? Did they think that you didn't appreciate it when they were doing it?
Mm-hmm.
And if you are expecting them to do it all the time, if you're showing that you're appreciative of whatever that action is, then they'll continue to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you would be expecting it all the time because they know that it's going to be expected of them to do that all the time. If right. they know that they started out giving you flowers every Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and you were so overjoyed with, you know, receiving these flowers every Sunday, mm-hmm. then they're going to continue to do that. Now, if your attitude changes over the course of time where you're like, you bring these damn flowers again, can't you do something else different? Right. You're always giving me flowers. Then no, they're going to stop doing that.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And we have to be very mindful as well of that appreciation, because, you know, sometimes somebody may have a bad day and they may not want to receive flowers, or they may not want to receive that special thing that their partner knows that they normally like. So we kind of have mm-hmm. to be mindful of, like, alienating our partner from something that we really enjoy just because we're having a bad day.
Exactly. Mm. And it goes back to, once again, communication is key in any relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Effective communication. You know, don't simply say, if they ask you, well, what's wrong? And you say nothing. No, you need to tell them, like, what's going on? Or if you don't feel like talking about it at that time, say, mm-hmm. look, I appreciate you asking me what is, you know, wrong right now. I just don't feel like talking about it at this moment.
Yeah. That's been a big one. That has been a big one for me. And this is not only with like a romantic partner, but just in general with friends, you know, just asking them, hey, how you doing? And they're like, I'm fine, but they're not really fine. You know, mm-hmm. and one of the things that I've noticed, especially during this pandemic that we've experienced the last couple of years, people are becoming more open, and they're actually speaking truth more. And I was having a conversation with someone whereby they said that we're because of the pandemic, we are confronted with ourselves so much that we don't have a choice but to be honest with ourselves. And so it's like, I've always had a problem with people who are going through something and they don't say anything, you know, and everybody has their reasons for not saying what they have to say, but I've never found a benefit of keeping secrets and being secretive. I've never seen positive results come from keeping a secret, unless it was something like, okay, I have a really, really cool night planned out for us, and so you have to keep that secret. I think that's an acceptable secret. But
you know, we have a hard time expressing and truly telling people what it is that's going on with us, mm-hmm. because it may be fear of judgment, or will this person, you know, how will they react if I tell them what's truly going on?
Yeah.
Are they truly going to listen to me and what it is that I have to say?
Yeah.
So a lot of times the easiest answer is to say, oh, I'm fine. Mm-hmm. Nothing is wrong with me.
Mm-hmm.
And so, especially in a relationship, and that person, you know, they know you and they can tell by, hey, you know, they're not having the goods. They're like, what's really wrong?
Yeah.
And you say, you know, look, I have a lot going on right now, but I'm just not in a place to talk about it at this moment.
Right.
Can you give me a few minutes to get myself prepared to talk?
Yeah.
Your partner should respect that. You're creating that boundary.
Yeah.
They should be able to respect that and say, okay, I'm here for you. I'm ready when you are, and whenever you're ready to talk. And when they are ready to talk, just simply listen. Don't give any feedback unless they, you know, want it. A lot of times people just want to talk and vent and not necessarily have any type of, oh, this is what I think you need to do.
Yeah.
No, I'm just trying to tell you what's going on. I'm just venting.
Yeah, 100%. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking Valentine's and talking relationships and talking love and talking solutions to some of the problems and wanting to make a stronger relationship with your partner and some of the things that you should or shouldn't do. And we're talking to Twyla B. Good, who's a certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach, as well as she provides relationship, sexuality, and intimacy coaching. This is our pre-Valentine's Day show, but we do got to take a break, pay some bills, play some music, keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Thank you. special birthday, so I know you want to ride out. Even if we only go to my house, sit more easy as we sit up on my couch. Feels good, but I know you want to cry out. You say you want passion, I think you found it. Get ready for action, don't be astounded. We switch in positions, you feel surrounded. Tell me where you want your gift. She's just tell me how you want your gift.
Yes, yes, we're back, we're back, we're back. It's Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. I have a guest with me, no stranger to the air. She was here last year, 2021, and she's back again for this pre-Valentine's edition of Soul P. Twyla, be good. Twyla, thank you so much for being here. Really enjoying our conversation thus far. Now, before the break, we were speaking about, the possibility that there might be a little bit of a rupture in a relationship, and in preparing for Valentine's, you were giving us some tips that a person could do in order to improve their relationship, and one of the things that you were saying is that you have to be intentional in the way that you're listening to your partner. And that, you know, yes, Valentine's is coming up, but it doesn't begin and end with Valentine's Day. So, you know, you don't do everything just in time for Valentine's Day. You're doing it for the long term. And we ended up talking about the fact that people change over time. So if people are in like a 10-year relationship, a 20-year relationship, they're not the same person that they were when you first met them. And so, I have learned a lot about love languages over the past, I would say, about 5 years or so, and I was just kind of wondering, like, what are, like, just generally, do we know, let's kind of define what a love language is, and love language is the right way that you give and receive love, is essentially in a nutshell, right?
Exactly. And so pretty much the love languages are how you are able to express yourself to your partner and what it is that will, I just say, stimulate them internally. Mm. And so you're finding a way to connect with them, but not on a physical level.
Right.
It's all mental. It's how I view the love languages. And it's how you speak to your partner. It could be with touch. Some people enjoy touch.
Yeah.
It could be receiving gifts. You know, some people enjoy that. Acts of service. What is it that you're doing to help me out? You know, can I rely on you? Can I count on you?
Mm.
Speaking positively to me. Words of affirmation.
Yep.
You know, that's key.
Yeah.
Or spending time with me.
Quality time,
yes. Spending time with your your partner. So all of these are ways that you are communicating with them, but they always aren't verbal, especially, well, with the words of affirmation, that's verbal. Mm-hmm. But the rest are nonverbal.
Yeah, 100%. Well, quality mm-hmm. time could be a mix of verbal and nonverbal.
Correct.
But physical touch, acts of service, and receiving gifts, they're not necessarily verbal at all.
No.
They may be accompanied.
And quality time, you know, like you said, can be both nonverbal and verbal. If we're just sitting in the same room together, you know, that's spending time with you.
Yeah. Because you could be reading a book.
Be talking at the moment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the other person could be watching the movie, playing solitaire, whatever the case may be. You know, one of the things, because you and I speak very often because we have a show that you produce on Sunday evenings. So we talk a lot about relationships and stuff like that. And I do a lot of introspective thinking about stuff like love languages and how I want to be in a relationship and things like that. And one thing that I realized, and maybe I had read it somewhere and it just kind of got ingrained in my brain, is that we have two different types of love languages within the five love languages. And I say that we have a giving love language and a receiving love language. And those might be the same, but they might also be different. So someone might, their priority might be receiving words of affirmation, but the thing that they love to they will give to their partner is acts of service, you know, as like the priority. That's the thing that really for them shows their love for their partner. And the importance of knowing what is my giving love language and what is my receiving love language. Like me, I'm an acts of service. I love to give acts of service, but I love to receive quality time or physical touch, you know? And I think that that is a nuance that not a lot of people will think of. They'll do the test for the love languages and then they'll get, you know, the top one that's like 40% and the others are like 15-20% each is quality time. And so they're like, yeah, I just love quality time. But then they don't know if it's giving quality time or receiving quality time. Which is a little bit different.
And you really need to know what it is that you are when it comes to the love language, like you said. So how can I convey this message to my partner as well? If you don't know, then they're just kind of trying to guess and figure it out. They're giving you gifts, and what you really want is time. Then that's not going to work well. I think a lot of times that's what happens in, you know, relationships. People honestly don't know what it is that they appreciate or want. And the other person is trying to figure it out and guess.
Yeah.
And they're getting it wrong. And so they're getting mad at the person for getting it wrong, but they haven't told them because they honestly don't know. And then you don't have to necessarily say, okay, well, my love language is just one thing. Like you said, it can be a mixture.
Yeah.
It could be a mixture of time, receiving gifts, acts of service. It can be a mixture of all of those.
And like you said earlier as well, like whatever the love languages could change, just like how a person will change over time. So maybe in the beginning they needed more words of affirmation, but then they've grown as a person 5-10 years later, sometimes even a few months later, they would prefer physical touch. And that's something that you have to be able to articulate in a verbal or a nonverbal way to your partner.
Exactly.
Mm.
And it's just being in tune with yourself.
Yeah.
Like I said, you can let your partner know, and your partner has to be able to know this as well, be able to receive the information, like you said, so that they know what to do.
Yeah.
So the love language, you know, you could always add another love language and say, you know, I am aware of what my partner likes, but my partner is aware of what I like. A love language could be simply paying attention.
Yep. And like we talk often about the five love languages, but there are actually much, much more like breakdowns of love languages, because we are complex human beings. We form mm-hmm. very complex thoughts. So to condense it down to just five is not really it, but those five are general, and it's a good place to start, because I'm looking it up on the internet right now, and there's people also ask what are five love languages, but they also ask what are seven love languages, what are the six love mm-hmm. languages. So there's no unanimous consensus that five love languages is the only love language that we have. There's obviously
Correct.
Way more ways of expressing our love language.
I agree. So it's way more than just the five. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, having fun discovering what it is that your love language is.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, like, for me, I could say that laughter, enjoying laughing, is a love language for me. And if my partner mm-hmm. is able to laugh with me about a lot of stuff that is not necessarily serious, that makes me happy in my relationship. You know, it may not be a top, it may not be like number one, but it's definitely mm-hmm. in that list of things to do. If I know that I can make my partner laugh, that brings me joy. And if my partner can make me laugh equally, you know,
sense of humor, being silly and goofy
mm-hmm.
with each other, it's another form of intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's still building that connection. You know, you are happy because you're able to make your partner laugh, and at the same time they're able to make you laugh, and so that's a stimulant for you, and you know, you're building that bond with them as well. It's like, okay, this is how we communicate. We can be silly, goofy, have fun together, not all the time, but you know, when the time is there.
Mm-hmm.
And what way to be a kid again in a relationship
than to have a good laughter session together?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So now we've worked on the relationship, and now it's coming to Valentine's. We've cooked a meal together. We've planned the whole meal together, the whole evening together. We've gone to whatever activity, and now we home together, and it's about to go down. Twyla, you have a company called A Taste of Sex. What are some tips, some ideas that, you know, it's about to get a little bit naughty, for want of a better word, because this is community radio, so we can't get too nasty with it in the language that we're using. But, you know, it's about to get real intimate. It might be a little bit dark in the room. So, like, what are some things that folks can do to make it an interesting time in the bedroom?
Well, the foreplay would have already started, because, you know, you have spent that time together, you cooked this amazing meal, so that can be considered the foreplay.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can set the mood, like, with candles, you can put on your favorite playlist. If you do want to watch erotica, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Simply take a bath together. Wash each other, rub each other's feet. I'm all about feet.
Right.
Take a shower together. You can, you know, be intimate in the bathroom and take that to the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Some tips that you can do, ladies, you can wear lingerie. If you want to do that, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
If you're into toys, you can bring toys inside the bedroom.
Right.
Or inside you, for that matter. So you can have, like, different toys that are out there, different stimulants. If you're into anal play, there are a lot of anal toys as well that you can use.
Yeah.
Make sure that you have your lubricant at the nightstand that you can use throughout the night.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you have your peppermints to wake up your saliva glands for when you want to give head.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So you won't have a dry mouth. You know, and just embrace each other. Learn the importance of touch. You can have sensational play. You can have temperature play. You can you can use ice. You can use wax.
Hot wax, yeah.
If you want. Yes. If you want.
Wait. Don't. I don't want us to, like, rattle off a list. Let's stick with the temperature play for now. Okay.
Oh, the temperature play.
What is temperature play, and, like, how does that stimulate the senses?
So with temperature play, you can use, like I said, ice or hot wax. It's going to stimulate the senses on the skin, of course. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use ice, they can rub it over your body. It can stimulate the nipples, yeah. Get those erect and hard as well. Mm-hmm. If you're using hot wax, just be mindful of the type of hot wax to use. There's certain ones for the skin. Mm-hmm. So if you are turned on by more heat, then hot wax would be good. Right. And it's just simply dripping hot wax on the back.
Right.
Or it could be on the chest area.
Yeah.
Whatever those stimulant areas are on those erogenous zones. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, you have the back of the neck. You can rub ice there or the wax there. Mm-hmm. You have the area behind your knees. That's another erogenous zone.
An underrated erogenous zone.
I'm sorry?
An underrated erogenous zone.
Yes, it is. A lot of people forget about that.
Yep.
Even the folds of the arm. Mm-hmm. That's another one.
Yes.
And of course, nipples are always the most obvious when it comes to the erogenous zones. Even the inside of the thigh, mm-hmm. that inner thigh area, you can have ice there, yeah. Or, you know, the wax there. So that's temperature play, and it's fun.
Right.
But you want to, before you do any of this, when it comes to any type of kink, that's where you go back to having a consent form.
Right.
Which you could do throughout the day, mm-hmm. before you get into the physical. Mm-hmm. The two of you can create a consent form together, have that contract together, and create a safe word together. So that can all be led up, you know, to the actual physical act.
Okay.
You know, during the day while you're having dinner. Say, hey, look, let's come up with a safe word for tonight.
Right.
It's like, oh, okay. Yeah.
So
safe word could be serendipity or whatever it is.
Right.
You know.
Right. Why would one come up with a consent form? Because that's not something that we hear about very often.
I know. And I would think you would. So when you are practicing any type of kink, you want to have this form that says, hey, look, this is everything that I have that's going on physically. Mm-hmm. These are my boundaries.
Right.
And this is how far you can go.
Right.
That is basically not, you know, no one is going to get in any type of trouble if we have this legal document that says, okay, if we're going to practice rope play, mm-hmm. I'm okay with that.
Right.
But the boundaries are, I don't want to have my feet bound.
Right.
Have that in writing. And so, you know, when you have a consent form, it goes over everything. You know, so you can have this, especially, you know, you're in a relationship, whether you've been married 10, 15 years, you want to have that.
Right.
Some type of legal paper that says that. So that's the importance of it, is so that, you know, in case something were to happen, uh-huh. you know, you can't go back and say, well, I told you it was okay for me to do this, or it was okay for you
because
not
it's
to
written
do this.
Down.
So I have this paper that says, exactly, that right. says, well, you told me I could do this. We both signed and agreed to it.
I got to be honest. That sounds like some 50 Shades type of deal.
Yeah, it is.
It sounds very dom sub type of situation there.
It is.
But it's not necessarily.
But it's fun, though.
Right. But it's not necessarily a dom sub situation. It's just basically we have an understanding of like what the boundaries are, and it's not debatable. Because oftentimes Correct. People will say, well, no, I don't remember you saying that. But if it's been written down, even if it's handwriting, mm-hmm. and both of you signed and initialized mm-hmm. whatever you had to initialize, you can't mm-hmm. you can't debate that piece of paper.
Correct.
Interesting. I've never really thought about that outside of like a BDSM environment, just mm-hmm. in like a quote unquote regular or atypical kind of relationship situation. But that's actually really, really interesting, because I think it would allow, well, for one, it would definitely allow us to know the boundaries, but then it could also allow us to see how the relationship grows, because your boundaries can be very different from one year to the next. So like, I'm just imagining someone, you know, from almost the beginning of the relationship, they start with these consent forms, and they keep them like in a binder. And then over the mm-hmm. years, they've accumulated however many, and they're able to go back together. And maybe, you know, after 10 years of being together and having this kind of activity that they do together, they're able to go back and be like, wow, remember when you never used to like to do this? And now look at this consent form. This was dated from 2002. And now look at this consent form mm-hmm. in 2019. And now it's like, you need to make sure that you do this, 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 and this, which is completely opposite to what you had in 2002. So it's really interesting because it could become kind of like a journal of their intimate life together.
Exactly. And it's, hey, you're bonding together. And like this, like you said, it can change over the course of time. Mm-hmm. And so to go back and reflect and say, hey, look at this. You know, we were wilding out 5 years ago. Right. Well, that's changed now. Mm-hmm. You know, it kind of toned down a bit. So let's write down what we want to do now, what it is that we enjoy now. That's another way that we can create intimacy in the relationship as well. Keep that communication open. But a lot of us aren't doing that in relationships. Yeah. We're expecting the other person to figure it out.
Right.
And we aren't taking the time to tell them what it is that's changed about us and that what we, you know, what we like now. Mm-hmm. But the fact that you journal this and you can go back and look and see, oh, we haven't done this in a while.
Yeah.
Or let's do this.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. That's so interesting because I as a writer myself, you know, I have things like gratitude journals, and I have books upon books of poetry that I've written, and I've never thought of having kind of like an intimate journal together with someone, mm-hmm. whether it is with a consent form in it or just like, oh, remember on this day we did this, this, and this, and just to kind of have it as a keepsake and as remembrance. That's really an interesting activity to do together as a couple.
Mm-hmm. So talk about a Valentine's Day activity. Do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are talking Valentine's. We are talking relationship, and you will hear with the music that we've been playing that we definitely down for some Valentine's loving. We do have to take a break. We are speaking to Twyla B. Good. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Friend indeed. Oh, she's a gold digger. Way over town. That digs on me. She kill me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
She kill me, mom.
Now, I ain't saying she a gold digger.
I'm in need.
But she ain't messing with no broke niggas.
I got a
get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead. Cutie the bomb, met her at a beauty salon with a baby Louis Vuitton under her underarm. She said, I could tell you rock, I could tell by your charm. For us girls, you got a flock, I could tell by your charm and your arm. But I'm looking for the one, have you seen her? My psychic told me she have an ass like Serena, Trina, Gina, for Lopez, 4 kids. And I gotta take all they badass to show biz. Okay, get your kids, but then they got their friends. I pulled up in the Benz, they all got a pen. We all went to den, and then I had to pay. If you fucking with this girl, then you better be paid. You know why? Take too much to touch her. From what I heard, she got a baby by Buster. My best friend said she used to fuck with Usher. I don't care what none of y'all say, I still love her. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Now I ain't saying she a gold digger, but she ain't messing with no broke niggas. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Get down, girl, go ahead, get down. Girl, go ahead. 18 years, she got one of your kids, got you for 18 years. I know somebody paying child support for one of his kids. His baby mama car crib is bigger than his. You will see him on TV any given Sunday. Win a Super Bowl and drive off in a Hyundai. She was supposed to buy your shorty Tyco with your money. She went to the doctor, got lipo with your money. She walk around looking like Michael with your money. Should've got that insured Geico for your money. If you ain't no punk. Holler, we want freedom. We want freedom. Yeah. It's something that you need to have. Cause when she leave your way, she gon' leave your hand.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy to see.
Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta
I wanna get you in the Georgia Dome on a 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick for tree. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP. Whipped cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Lick it, don't stop. Keep the door locked, don't knock. While the boat rock, we go by some robots, so they gotta wait till the show stops. Or how about on the beach with black sand? Lick up your thigh and call me the Pac-Man. Tabletop, just give me the lap dance. The rock to the park, to the point, to the flatland. That man ain't ludicrous. Woo! In the public bathroom or in the back of the classroom. However you want it. Lover, gon' tap that ass soon. See, I cast them and I pass them. Get a tight grip and I grasp them. I flash them and I'll last them. And if it ain't good, then I trash them. Why you stash them? I let them free and they tell me what's they fantasy. Like up on the roof. Tell your boyfriend not to be mad at me.
I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy to see.
Lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. When I wanna, you make it so good, I don't wanna leave. But I gotta know what's your fantasy to see.
Tub with the candles lit, you give it up till they go out. Or we can do it on stage at the Ludacris concert, cause you know it got sold out. The red carpet dick, it just roll out. Go ahead and scream, you can't hold out. We can do it in the pouring rain, running the train when it's hot or when it's cold out. How about up in the library on top of books, but you can't be too loud. You wanna make a brother beg for it, give me TLC, cause you know I'll be too proud. We can do it in the White House, try to make them turn the lights out. Champagne with my campaign, let me do the damn thing. What's my name? The sauna, jacuzzi, in the back row at the movie. You can scratch my back and rule me. You can push me and just pull me. On hay in the middle of the barn. Rose petals on the silk seat. Eating fresh fruit. Sweep your woman.
Yes, yes, yes. We're back. It is Tuesday evening. It is the Tuesday evening before Valentine's. And you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and with me this evening is Twyla B. Good. She is a certified sexologist, erotic and intimacy coach, as well as an erotic poet and owner of A Taste of Sex. Her focus is working with women and men who want to enhance their sex life with erotica and intimacy coaching. She provides relationship, sexuality, and intimacy coaching, as well as adult erotic products. And seeing as how Valentine's is coming up, we want to get to know a little bit more about what kind of products that Twyla has. Because over the course of this evening, we've spoken about, you know, relationships, how you can prepare for Valentine's, a date night together, different ideas on what you could do. If you just tuned in, you can listen back to the show at 8:31 on the archives. So now we're in the bedroom and we're going to get some products from A Taste of Sex, Twyla's company. Twyla, thank you so much for being here. What are some of the things that are available for someone who wants to maybe explore a little bit more outside of, quote unquote, whatever their regular sexual habits are with their partner or partners?
So you can look on my website at www.twylabegood.com. And on there, I have lingerie. I also have lingerie on the Walmart store. So you go to walmart.com and look for Be Good and More. So it's various styles and designs of lingerie, depending on how kinky you want to be.
Mm-hmm.
Also on my website, I have more of the kinky BDSM type products like handcuffs, blindfolds. I have the the bar, the ankle bar that keeps you in place.
Mm-hmm.
That keeps your legs like that. It's on my website as well. Of course, dildos, anal plugs as well. So it's depending on, you know, what it is that you want to do to create your fantasy.
Right.
You can find all of that on my store. as well as I'll have like recording of classes. Self-care classes will be on my website as well.
Okay, so classes, what are these classes that you give?
So for this month, I'm doing self-care classes, mm-hmm. talking about how to speak life into yourself, ways to take care of yourself, just different tips that you can do, and then how all of this plays into our sex life.
Right.
So it's three different classes each Tuesday,
mm-hmm.
and these are all virtual.
Okay.
And next month is all about intimacy,
right.
ways that you can be intimate with your partner,
mm.
and that'll be Tuesdays from 7 to 9 in February. And then last but not least,
8 March, to 10 p.m. for folks who are based in Montreal.
I'm sorry?
8 to 10 p.m. for folks who are based in Montreal, because we got the time difference.
I keep forgetting. And then in March, it's all about the vagina. She speaks, but ladies, do you listen?
Mm.
Talking about that vagina will tell you everything you need to know.
Right.
She will tell you when she's sick. She'll tell you if you need to stop having sex with that man.
Right.
She'll let you know. Yes. Yes.
Right.
And all of this information is on my website.
Mm. Wow. You know, as you say that about the vagina will tell you whether or not you want to have sex with that man, I think that men as well need to discover, like, in their mind that they're not supposed to have sex with that woman. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I find that men's bodies are hardwired to have sex. And while there are complications, not complications, but there are disorders like erectile dysfunctions, or is it dysfunction? ED. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
ED. Erectile dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes your body is physically reacting, but your core is like, no, I don't want to do this. But because your body has reacted, your mind somehow, as a man, I feel like my mind switches and it's like, well, yeah, I got to do this now. But I feel like men need to learn that just because you have an erection doesn't mean that you want to have sex, because
exactly.
it's also an involuntary reaction at times as well. Like when I wake up in the morning and I you know, you have morning wood, it doesn't necessarily mean mm-hmm. that you're ready to, you want to have sex. It's just an involuntary reaction. And I think that men as well need to learn that, you know, just because it's up doesn't mean it goes in.
That part, and that's a whole other conversation. Exactly.
Yeah. But okay, so folks need to go to twilabegood.com, twilabgood.com, in order to find different different things to maybe spice up Valentine's. And then don't stop at Valentine's. Don't like put it away in a box somewhere until next year. But bring it out whenever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's there. Get your money's worth, because I can tell you, erotic toys are not cheap. You know, you get good quality stuff. So, you know, use them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any closing advice for someone who wants to explore beyond whatever their normal is?
My advice would be to do what makes you happy and be safe when you are doing this. Educate yourself. Read. You know, you want to find out as much as you can so that you won't go into it without knowing.
Mm.
Whatever it is that you want to try. Okay. Just remember that you don't need to feel ashamed in what it is that you like or mm-hmm. enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest thing is just to educate yourself. Educate yourself on it. And my motto is sex should be good.
Yep.
And sex should not leave a bad taste in your mouth.
Your mouth. Amen to that. Twyla, thank you so much for coming on and talking to us about your organization and talking to us about relationships and like giving us all of these tips. If you're just tuning in, you can listen back to the show at 8:31 p.m. on ckut.ca/archives. So hopefully we'll have you on as time goes by, and you know, if we have more questions about sex and intimacy, and you want to visit twylabegood.com, or you want to take one of her coaching classes, her classes about love and intimacy and forging better bonds together with your partner, definitely get in touch with Twyla Be Good at twylabegood.com. Or also, you can you have Instagram handles as well, and Twitter, and all of that good stuff. What are those handles?
So for Instagram, it's twylabe.gode. Mm-hmm. And Facebook, they can find my page, A Taste of Sex, Erotic, and Intimacy Coaching. And, of course, the website, twylabegood.com.
Boom. That is it. Ladies and gentlemen, next week, Monday, is Valentine's Day. So you have just about a week in order to get everything in gear, get ready for that beautiful evening with your partner. But remember, Valentine's is just one day out of the year. Make Valentine's Day every day. You've been listening to Soul Perspectives. Thank you for tuning in. Tune in this and every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8:30 p.m. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson. You've been listening to CKUT on 90.3 FM.
I'm the hottest round. I told y'all mother, y'all can't stop me now. Listen to me now. I'm lasting 20 rounds. And if you want me, then come on get me now. Is you with me now? Then biggie, biggie bounce. I know you dig the way I switch my style.
Holla, holla.
People sing around. Now people gather around. Now people jump around.
You don't know, me and Timberland been high since 20 years ago. What the dealio, now what the drillio. If you wanna battle me, then let me know. Got the feeling, son, let me throw you some. People, here I come,
that's
what me when I'm
done. I got something for your mind.
You should do that, baby.
No more will you cry.
Spirit's calling.
The future, would you try?
Come,
you will, so will I.
Come,
when I call you up, I wanna tell you what to wear.
Come,
don't be surprised if I tell you to go bare.
Come,
long as you wash between your soul and through your hair.
Come,
I do my duty there.
We've never met, and to be honest, we probably never will. That's not really important. but there are probably people out there who are important to you, who are reluctant to get the COVID-19 vaccine for themselves and for their children. We all have our reasons, but if we take the time...